It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast brought to you by Rangers Today. Today is episode number 43. Sam Huff is going to join us for the second time this season. And we're going to do a little fun thing with Sam, too. We've got a 9-year-old Henry in here that's going to ask a fan question coming from him. But first, we're going to get into the big league club. We got a new all-star as of last night.
Yeah. Corey Seager. Kind of a weird situation. You know, he's replacing George Springer, who's an outfielder. Corey very clearly is not an outfielder. But the six outfielders who were on the player ballot are already on the team. So MLB gets to decide.
Sure.
And with the Dodgers ties, I think that played a role in it. And Seager's been... He leads all shortstops and home runs.
Yep.
He's been on an absolute tear. So it makes some sense. And good for him. You kind of look at his first half and, God dang, 10 years, $325 million, and he's only hitting 248 or 243, whatever. But, as I wrote over the weekend at rangerstoday.com, and it's like all of his analytical stuff is top 10% in the league. Some of it's top 8, top 6%. Like ex WOBA and ex slug and all that stuff. So, if you buy into the argument that luck is a factor, which is a growing thing these days, he's been unlucky. He's hit the ball hard,
very hard,
and he's got numbers that are worthy of being an all-star. So, good for him. I think he's looking forward to it. I think it came as a surprise. It's only a few days before you have to go, so I think he had probably a trip planned, and he's gonna have to make the long trip from Los Angeles to Miami for the Rangers second half opener. But I think all in all, when you look at the big picture, it's deserving.
Yep. And let's go over real quick where the Rangers are. They are sitting 41-46. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They have lost one game. We were there last night when they did lose. They took 2 out of 3 from Oakland, which was nice.
Yeah.
They're 4.5 back of the wild card for those that are keeping up with that. Obviously, they're not going to catch up. They're 16.5 back of Houston. Good team in town right now and we talked about that yesterday. A couple guys I wanted to talk about. Tavares has been incredible. He is, right now, look, it's still early, but he's had how many at bats? Maybe
78, below 80.
Right.
For sure.
But he's hitting, 348, something like that? I mean, what he was doing in AAA, he is doing here. His at bats look so much better than they did the last 2 times.
Yeah, and there's an adjustment coming. The pitchers are going to figure it out.
Sure.
And he's going to have to adjust. It's kind of what happened to AAA. He started off so darn good and was hitting basically about 400 the first month, and it kind of petered out a little bit, and then he got it back in June. So he needs to make the adjustments coming.
Right.
They're going to adjust, so you adjust back. That's just baseball. That's how you survive. But it's been good. I know he misplayed the ball in center field Thursday. That led to a decisive run, basically in a one-run game, but that's an anomaly. He's such a good defensive player.
Yep.
He also got thrown out on the bases, trying to steal, which doesn't happen very often.
And right.
Again, the timing of it, was the first inning. It was a strike him out, throw him out. You kind of thought that he was running to stay out of a double play, but apparently he was going on his own and just got a bad jump. You'd probably like to see a couple other guys bat that inning, considering the way it was going. But overall, this guy's a good player. I've been saying it, and I know people are down after what happened in 21, where he hit 087 in the first month. He just wasn't ready, and he's a guy who barely played at Double A.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden he's the opening day center fielder. But he's on better footing now, and he looks like the player that they envision he could be.
Yeah, and you know what? Credit to you, because through all of it, through when we first started this podcast and from the moment we've gone, you have been, don't give up on Taveras. You've said he's still young. I still believe Taveras is a guy that can do something. He got thrown into the fray in 20. That was a weird year anyway.
Right.
And they just had to kind of go with what they had. The stadium wasn't going to open for the public because of that COVID year. You stayed on him. I had kind of softened on him. I mean, Taveras was always the top prospect coming in before that. He had kind of had some scuttling there. He came in. He didn't look good at the big league level. But you were right. Only 23 years old, and he was like, dude, this kid is still young. And, man, kudos to you for getting on that. That was good. Hey, another good fun thing. I pronounce this. I butcher it since he's been there. Elier Hernandez, who came up. Great story. I mean, this is like a
fun story.
You know, he was like top of his class that year in the international signing.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, the Royals gave him a pile of money. They gave him $3 million. And it just didn't work out. And, he was 16 when he was signed. He's 27 now. It's a guessing game. Sometimes it's late bloomers. I mean, yeah, and I bring this up all the time. The ultimate late bloomer in Rangers history is Nelson Cruz. And, you know, he didn't.
Who's still playing.
Right, who's still playing. But he didn't become Nelson Cruz until he was
28.
27, 28. And so I'm not saying that's going to happen with Elier Hernandez. They're entirely different players. But, and Adolis, and to your point on Taveras, you know, players just come at their own time, you know, and I know everybody wants them to come and, you know, wants them to be this and that, and they want it today. Look, Leody Taveras is younger than Josh Jung. And so it's that should tell you how young he is. And Elier, you know, he had the two hits, which is great.
Yep.
It's fun. And, he earned it. He has 3,900 or 3,898 career minor league plate appearances. So, I mean, he's been down there a while. He's seen stuff.
Yes.
You know, so he shouldn't be fazed by a lot, but, you know, he probably hasn't seen this kind of stuff, but good for him. It's a fun story.
It's a great story. And look, is he a long-term solution? Probably not. But hey, if he earns it, great.
Sure.
That's fantastic to hit on something like that. If he ends up, you know, coming up here and doing, because if you look at the AAA numbers, a lot of people were going, why didn't, you know, right-handed bat, why not Solak? I said, did you look at the numbers? Look at Solak compared to this guy. You know, why wouldn't you go with this guy and give him a shot? Give him his shot. Oh. Solak's had some chances.
Well, and Duran's another guy, you know, everybody was high on when he came up and did so well, but he hasn't been great offensively at Round Rock. I know he had a good game the other night with a homer and a double.
Hit a home run last night, yeah.
You know, he's still a developing player. You know, Hernandez may still technically be developing, but he's had a lot of development, and I don't think the future of the franchise will be altered if Ezekiel Duran spends a couple more weeks or a month or the rest of the season at AAA.
I don't think so either.
It'd probably be good for him.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt him at all. Well, look, it's Friday that we're doing this.
Yeah.
This Sunday is the draft. Obviously the Rangers don't have a second and third round pick,
right,
but they do have the third overall pick.
Right.
Got some stuff coming out this weekend on Rangers Today. $5.99 a month, $60 for the year, or $35 for 6 months. We got some stuff coming out on that, on the draft. It's probably really down to about three players that they've probably got on there.
Well, I don't know.
I've put about seven or eight together myself.
Sure.
You got stuff coming. There's some interesting names there depending on which way they go, but the Rangers system is going to take a major step forward after Sunday.
Yeah, they're getting a top 100 prospect.
Yes.
There's no question about it.
No question.
And that'll give them seven, you know, and it'll just increase enhance the perception that this is a top five, probably top three farm system, honestly. And, you know, I don't know, you know, Drew Jones, Andrew Jones' kid probably isn't going to be there. Jackson Holliday, who's Matt Holliday's son, maybe he's there. You know, Elijah Green seems to be a popular name linked to the Rangers. Super Toolsy, his dad's a former NFL player.
Brooks Lee is another one.
Brooks Lee, a college player. You know, I'm intrigued, and I'm intrigued by Kumar Rocker. You know, if you go back to last February, February of 21, he was the number one guy. He was better than Jack Leiter.
And, yeah.
You know, he had to have a little, you know, he had the injury, didn't pass his physical after the Mets took him at 10 last year. So he had to have a little cleanup on the shoulder. He pitched in that an independent ball and just flat dominated.
Yeah. And it's independent ball, but still
yeah. I mean,
the velocity's there. He looks good.
Yeah. And, you know, what if he's back? I mean, you know, you hate shoulder injuries though. That's the thing. You even if it's quote unquote minor, you don't like shoulder injuries. So there's some risk there. But if the Rangers were just really impressed with, I think they spoke with Rocker last year leading up to the draft. They definitely talked to Tim Corbett, the Vanderbilt coach, who like talks like Kumar Rocker like he's his own son. You know, a good kid. And these guys are so big on makeup. And, you know, I think it's a long shot. I don't think it's as much of a long shot as I once did. I think it would surprise a lot of people to pass up a premium prep talent for a guy who basically was injured and couldn't pass his physical last year. But I don't know. I'm not convinced that they don't go with a college guy. It gives them more financial flexibility. That's why, you know, Brooks Lee fits.
Parada,
from Georgia Tech, the catcher.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I would be, you know, I was told about a month ago that the Rangers would be a shock to the Rangers if they did not take a prep player. Now maybe things have changed, but you know, I think it's maybe, you know, greener Holiday would be kind of what I would guess, but I don't know. It is a guess.
I think the one that I'm a big fan of Lee, and the reason I like Brooks Lee, not only has he done it so well in college, coming out of high school, Brooks Lee was a top 30 prospect in the organization. Goes to college, goes to play for his dad,
right?
And goes there and just dominates there too. This is not a guy that went to college and turned himself into a great player. He was a great player.
Yeah,
all the way up.
He's had some injuries. I think he's got a back thing, but you know, there's a risk with everybody. There's a risk with every guy you take.
Absolutely.
And it just depends on how much risk the Rangers want to take.
Should be interesting. We'll have a press conference there about 6 o'clock. We'll find out who it is. We'll have some stuff that'll come out on Rangers Today or on the YouTube channel for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, click the YouTube channel. Put like down there and do that.
Yeah, but, subscribe.
Huh?
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Please. You need to subscribe to it and do that. Anything else on the big leagues before we get Sam in here?
Well, we got Dennis Santana behind me and, you know, I think the one thing to take away from as the Rangers go to the All-Star break is that their rotation is in trouble.
Yep.
And obviously John Gray and Martin Perez are fine. It's the other three. And they're not getting enough innings.
Right.
And when you don't get the innings, you put a big load on the bullpen. And I think that right now you're seeing the effects of that.
Yes.
You know, the guys who were terrific until basically this last road trip.
Right.
They're feeling it. And you know, Friday is supposed to be a bullpen game. Today's supposed to be kind of a bullpen game with Taylor Hearn. I mean, how are they? You only got to get to the All-Star break, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had to make some moves Saturday and Sunday just to get to the break.
Yeah. There is a group of about 5 or 6 guys that are going to be making the bus trip back and forth, and it's just going to be so they can get arms in here because it is taxing on the bullpen right now. They need this break more than anybody.
Yeah, and they're going to get Jonathan Hernandez back, I think, this weekend.
Yeah,
but you know, then you got to make a 40-man move.
Yep.
You know, and there are guys you can get rid of, or not get rid of, but you can probably sneak through the waivers.
Right.
But it'll be interesting because he's probably only going to pitch an inning here for the first couple times out,
right?
As he's coming off the IL for Tommy John surgery. So I don't know. You felt good. You felt really good about 2 weeks ago, and now you're like, they're hanging on. It feels like they're really hanging on.
This entire pitching staff right now is put together with baling wire and duct tape. I mean, it really is. And so if you do see any moves coming in this trade deadline, which is coming up August 2nd, you know, like they said, Chris Young was here yesterday. We talked to Chris Young. He was talking about afterwards about the trade deadline and what was happening. He said, look, they're looking at every option, whether they buy, sell, or anything. But it's going to be for long-term thing. I mean, would they do a rental? You brought that up. It's a possibility just for an arm. if it was inexpensive, maybe someone to get some innings in here.
Just to survive.
Just to survive, because let's be honest. The guys that this season, they came into the season going, we've got three good, decent starters. We got the back end. These guys are going to do that. And then we've got some young guys that are going to be stepping up, taking those fourth and fifth. Nobody stepped up yet. Yeah. There are three spots. There's two real spots that are open. Mm-hmm. Dunning's hurt, but he'll come back. But there are two spots that are completely open, and nobody sees in the opportunity.
Yeah, you're right. So, all right, let's get Sam on.
Yeah, we'll get Sam in here, and then after Sam, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. But right now, we come back after this. We got Sam Huff.
Answer that question is, I don't know. High fly ball center field. That ball well struck. Carrying back to the rocks. Gone! And Sam Huff with his first big league home run. It's 5-1 Rangers.
Well, you're getting a look at the power of some of the young Rangers. Anderson Tejeda hit one 450 feet. Sam Huff probably hit that one about 410 feet.
All right, and joining us right now is Texas Rangers catcher Sam Huff, who's back up here in the big leagues again. Sam, what's going on, buddy?
Just hanging out. How about you guys?
Well, kind of the same. Kind of the same, doing a little work. We got a live studio audience, actually. We usually just have nobody here, and now we have like five people here, and they're all very excited. But and we also have NBA star Desmond Bane coming into the studio for another show. So it's a power-packed Friday here, Sam. I don't know what's happening in your neck of the world. Yeah, we're busy and we're big time. Both.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll just dive right into the baseball. John said you're back. You came back Monday when Mitch had his surgery. Man, this is like the third time you've been up. How hard is it to go up, down, up, down?
It's definitely not ideal because you want to stay there as long as possible. But given the factors of I need to play and things that were going on, there wasn't any playing time at that time. And you know, it's part of it. Some guys get to stay there the rest of their career. Some guys go up and fail right away and they have to go back down. And then there's just, you don't have opportunities and you need to go down and get your opportunities and play. And then when the time's right, you come back up and you can play.
Do you feel like you've made up for the time you missed last year behind the plate?
I think every day I'm making up for it. I think you can't really say, have you made up for it? Because even guys that have been catching their whole lives still learn, and they learn things that they've never thought they would learn. And I think it is definitely a factor that I got to go down and play 4 days a week and get to catch every day, get back to the routine of like playing and not just DHing and playing first. I got to catch pretty much all of the games down there and have one off day. So it does definitely give me in a better shape. It gets me to show me what I can do with my bots again still. And it actually is easier because with all the scouting reports I've been doing these past couple of months and years, and kind of how I can like look about it on my laptop and kind of dive in for information status and stuff for pitchers, it is making it a lot easier.
And You've got Bobby Wilson around you when you're up here, and he's kind of your catching mentor, I guess. What is it? What's he like during games? What's it like? What's the feedback like with him? Because he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, it's honestly, I go to him if I have anything, if it's on probably a sequence or a pitch that wasn't made that I felt like maybe a different pitch could have got us there. And he kind of just talks to me, shows me my receiving, like how do I look on like the iPads, how it looks, if it looks natural or if I'm a little stiff and the umpire sees that. And then how can I help the pitcher with that in the sense of getting him out of innings quicker, stealing strikes more, and just putting us in a better position to win.
So in AAA at Round Rock, they're doing the automated strike zone. It seems like there's not a value on pitch framing at that level, but it seems like that's still something you got to work on during the games regardless.
Yeah, I talked to Jack Kruger when I was there, and I was asking him, what do you got on the automatic strike zone? And he was like, oh, it's awesome. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, but you can't receive or frame anything. So, and I went down to OKC, and Tony Walters was catching. He was the guy that pretty much started the whole, like, start your thumb on the ground and rip it up. Mm-hmm. And Tony was just catching it and throwing it back. And I even asked him, I was like, what do you got in the automatic strike zone? He was like, it's where baseball's going, kind of, and I don't really have a job, but I know I can receive. It's just, it's not really, there's no point of doing it unless they bring me up to be a backup or something. And I was like, yeah, you could say that. I was, because in my head, I'm going to do it regardless, even if the umpire doesn't call it. But that's what they preached to me. That's what they wanted from me. So I have to go down and work on it, because it's the automatic strike zone isn't here yet. So you still have to you need to work on it.
Do you like it? Do you like the automatic strike zone? I mean, not from like a catching perspective. I guess you could say from a hitting perspective too, but.
Hitting perspective, yes. But from a catcher's perspective, no, because those usual pitches you usually get on the corner that the umpire calls that they barely like are just off, or like they're off decent amount. Now, if you throw it, if it doesn't even nick that like little zone, it's pretty much a ball. So because I was hitting once and I was facing the A's, and I was facing I forgot his name. He was literally pitching yesterday in the big leagues, number 50. I forgot his name.
All right.
And he threw a backup changeup that hit the top, like, in up and in corner. Like, this was the corner, barely nicked the top, and it struck me out. And I looked at the umpire. I was like, that hit the strike zone? And he was like, I don't know. I was like, okay, and I went back, and apparently the seam barely touched the zone, and if the ball at all touches the zone, it's a strike. So it could be the top of the zone barely nicking it, and it's a strike.
Well, and you're not a short guy, so I mean that's got to be a high.
Yeah, they didn't even measure me, so like they're measuring guys on strike zones and stuff, and apparently I asked Shay Langelier. I was like, hey, like, did you get measured for this like automatic strike zone thing? And he's like, no, they only measured like one guy in our organization.
Really?
And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. I was like, I thought they're going to measure everyone. He's like, I did too.
Well, sounds like then it might be a couple years away from the big leagues. I mean, you're right. It's coming. I don't think there's any doubt, but man, and I think it's going to juice up offenses, right? Maybe it's going to make the game more exciting, but I mean, I don't know that it's going to speed up the game necessarily, because if guys are taking balls that are a fraction of off the plate,
yeah,
I feel like it's going to pump up walks and maybe slow things down.
Yeah, it definitely made me walk more, I guess, because if I knew it was two strikes and I knew it wasn't like close to the zone, I didn't really have to swing.
Huh. All right.
It's going to create more offense is what it's going to create.
Yeah, maybe that's what they want, but sounds like it's not the offense they're going to want. I mean, it's, you know, walks aren't any fun.
Well, eventually, they're going to have to groove balls just to get something.
Well, they're going to have to be more aggressive in the strike zone.
Absolutely.
So you did go down last month, and I don't know if any people watching this are aware, but it's your right as a player. You have 3 days to take your option, and you said the hell with that and went and played the next day. Why not take your days?
Personally, I just didn't see the point of it. I love this organization. They gave me a shot when I was 18 in 2016, and I felt like the one I was brought up when I was playing, it wasn't really a selfish game. It was very like you're here to win with this team. You're here to play, and I took it as an opportunity, and I didn't really want to show anybody up. I didn't feel like it was right or necessary. And, you know, to talk crap about anybody, even though it's part of baseball, you're going to go up and down, and it's unfortunate, but you got to do it. And I talked to my agency, and I was like, I want to go. And they said, you can take the 3 days. And I was like, I don't really see a point. I don't think it's in my book, a great look. So I just was like, I want to go. I want to go play. And so I talked to Paul Kruger and Woody texted me and I talked to Bobby a little bit and I just told him I want to go play. So you guys want me to go down there and play? I'm going to go down and play.
Yeah. Well, they did notice. I mean, it's,
yes,
it came up a couple of times with the manager. You know, it's a professional thing to do. It shows that you want to get better. And then you went down and did exactly what they said. You caught, started hitting home runs. I mean, it was like, you know, yeah. I asked Chris, you know, do you need to reward a guy who does that? And he said, we don't necessarily need to reward him, but when they go down and do it, their name kind of creeps up the list. I mean, now catcher, obviously you're at the top of the list, but
sure.
Yeah, you did well there. So just before we move on to the fun stuff, including a new segment we're going to call Kids Ask the Big Leaguer.
Yep.
How are you feeling at the plate? How are you feeling defensively, even though you've only played the one time since you've been back up?
I feel good. It's definitely it's definitely hard to be a kind of like a pinch hit opportunity because you don't ever like talk about it, you never practice it. So it's definitely that mentality and not playing consistently, which is part of baseball, and you got to kind of learn and you got to put in your dues and work because you don't get to just come up and be the starter. Not everyone gets to do that. You kind of have to, if someone's in front of you, you have to learn from them and go down, do your work, come back up, learn from them. And at some point, usually it kind of works out, or you technically go to a different organization that wants to use you. And it's a learning curve. And it's also, but I love it. I come to the field every day with a good attitude and I want to play and I want to help win. So whatever, right. if they told me to go play left field, I'd go do it, but it wouldn't be, wouldn't be easy, but it would be like, okay, I'll go play left field. I don't care. Like you want me to play, if you want me to play, I'll play.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I want to see Sam Huff in left field.
I haven't played left field since I was in club ball, which I was like 12.
All right. All right. Well, yeah, let's now that the baseball talk's wrapped up, let's do this. Let's bring in the kid asks the big leaguer.
The kid's going to ask the big leaguer. Henry, 9-year-old Henry's going to come in and join us. Come over this way, Henry.
Yeah, come over by me.
Henry wants to ask a big leaguer a question. What do you want to ask him, Henry?
He might ask more than one.
Yep, go ahead.
What's your favorite restaurant? What do you get there?
Did you hear that?
What's that, buddy?
What's your favorite restaurant and what do you get there?
Favorite restaurant. So there's a place in my by my house called Chicago Hamburger Company. And it's a kind of a Chicago style, all based like burgers, dogs, shakes, everything. And I get 4 sliders with a chocolate shake and fries.
4 sliders? All right.
They're little sliders, though. They're little sliders. They're nothing big, but they're the best. So I'd have to say that.
All right. Next.
You got another one?
Yeah. What's your favorite animal?
Favorite animal? Ooh. I'd have to say, I don't want to be generic or basic, but I would have to say a tiger because I feel like they're a very interesting but mysterious animal that no one really gets to see up close. So I feel like it'd be kind of cool to go see a tiger.
What's your favorite animal?
Snake.
Snake.
God almighty. Snake.
Now, Sam's from Arizona, so he probably has a familiarity with rattlesnakes.
Yeah, he might have seen a few of those.
I've seen like 10 in my life, and they're all next to my ankles.
Yeah. I've killed one.
Oh, well, all right.
I've seen a rattlesnake.
Where?
Remember at the cabin?
Oh, that's right. That's right. He found a pygmy rattlesnake. So,
okay, all right.
Next up.
What's your favorite MLB player?
Who's your favorite MLB player?
I would have to say DJ Mayhew right now. I followed DJ since I was in high school, and he was not really, no one really followed him in Colorado with Chicago. And I think he's a really good player. What about you?
Who's your favorite?
Joey Gallo.
This is actually a Joey Gallo jersey he's wearing, in fact.
The timing
on the Joey Gallo was the trade. I've heard this story. The trade was the 30th or 31st of last July. And then what's your birthday? The 12th?
Yeah.
And so he got it for his birthday. So mom and dad couldn't change the order. So he's stuck with a throwback, an instant throwback.
That's right, okay. You get it signed. It's going to be worth something probably.
Yeah, we'll get it signed.
I don't know.
What, any more questions from Henry?
No.
Okay, tell him thanks.
Thanks, Sam. Huh?
Oh, thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, beat it.
All right, I'm just going to go with a cut. We've already done a lot about you, Sam, and talked about your life and all of that and there. But I want to go a little bit different. We're just going to do a couple of fun ones here. Hey, what teammate in that clubhouse is the funniest guy? Who's the one that keeps everybody cracking up?
Dennis Santana.
Santana? Okay, I wouldn't have
thought. He's got a good personality. Keeps us loose. He always comes in with a good attitude, leaves with a good attitude, and that's what I preach. And he does it every day, and I appreciate that.
Here's a fun fact about Dennis Santana. Yeah, all right, so he's from the Dominican. You don't get a lot of Dennis's from the Dominican.
Sure.
His dad was a huge NBA fan, and he is named after Dennis Rodman.
No kidding. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, how many people are named after Dennis Rodman? But anyway, hey, that's where Dennis comes from. That's what he said.
That is cool. Now you got to go bug him about that. Hey, who's the best dressed when you guys are on the road? Who's the best dressed?
Adolis.
And Adolis?
They both dress very well.
Okay. Is there a prankster? You got a prankster on there that's always pulling pranks on everybody?
Probably not on everyone, but Cole probably pulls pranks on me a lot. So it's Cole for me.
Two?
Cole Calhoun? I think for me because he pulls more pranks on me than a lot of people. Not on everybody, but he pulls a lot of pranks.
Is it the Arizona thing? The Arizona connection?
Yeah, and he just wants to keep me humble, I think. So I just let him do it to satisfy his day and go on with it, you know.
It could be a redhead thing too, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also my father, so I have to listen to him. So
my father. All right, just a couple of more, Sam. We'll let you get out of here. I know you're going to go to the ballpark probably here in a little bit. Anything you're binge watching right now? You and your girlfriend or wife? Are y'all binge watching anything?
I don't really binge watch because I'll watch it and then she'll watch it when I'm at the field. So I usually I've been watching a lot of like Cartoon Network, Looney Tunes, and then I've been watching all the Star Wars again because of Obi-Wan, the new series that came out.
The new series?
I've been watching those, but mainly just like Cartoon Network or something. It's not really anything special because I know she can't go watch it without me because I have the login. So I was just like, I won't even tell her what I have.
So you're a Looney Tunes guy over a Disney guy?
Yeah. Usually, yeah, I literally put on Cartoon Network when I'm doing like scouting reports and just have it on the background, and it's playing like old Scooby-Doo scenes. You got Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. You got probably like all the classic like Freddy Freshman. Like, it's a lot of like just like shows I like to watch that Katie doesn't usually watch. She leaves and goes somewhere else, and I'm sitting right here watching TV, just minding my own business.
So clear the room, turn on Looney Tunes. Perfect. It's a good strategy. I'm going to try it.
Kick her out, have the room to myself, and me and Theo can kind of hang out.
All right.
Another one. You guys travel a lot. A lot of plane rides. When you're on the plane, what happens on the plane? Anything you do? Do the guys play cards? Anything like that? What happens on the plane rides?
I think there's like a vast variety of guys that just hang out and listen to music. Then you got guys that watch their TV shows. And then you got like Brock Burke and Joe Barlow who play Farmville, which is like a game on their phone that they won't shut up about. And then you got guys in the back playing like cards. So we got a bunch of guys that just walk out throughout the kind of like the plane and just talk, and we'll kind of just bother each other for a little bit. And then once we're done, we kind of go back to our seats. And I usually sit in my seat and just watch movies or listen to music. And if I look up, Cole will look at me and then say something that I don't think people want to know what he says. But he does. It's a good time. It's definitely, I've been in the back. I've seen playing cards and they ask if I want to play, but I don't really know how to. So then they tell me to beat it. So I just thought,
all right, last one. We're going to get you out of here. I've always wondered this. If you're ever in a street fight out there, who's the one guy on this team that you want standing with you?
Adolis.
Yeah, it's automatic, right? I mean, the guy's built like a linebacker.
No one's approaching you with a 6'5" and this big-ass dude like standing right here like, hey, what's up, Poppy? And it's like, hi. Hey, Adolis, what's up, man? How are you?
And it's, I think, like, he wrestled in Cuba.
Did he wrestle?
I think he wrestled.
Yeah, he's put me in a headlock before as a joke, and I was like, I'm good, dude. I'm gonna go back to my locker.
He just seems like a guy. I mean, everyone sees it from TV. You see Adolis in that smile. He's got the biggest smile in the world, but he seems like you don't want to get on his bad side. It doesn't look like there's much there that's going to – you're going to do much damage to someone like that. Or Sam. Sam's so big. We stood next to Sam doing that too. So it's Adolis. Sam?
Yeah, I feel like – but Adolis is very – I think Adolis is very skewed. You look at him, he's very scary, I guess. But you get to know him, he's probably the nicest dude, very humble. He puts people before himself, and – I appreciate that because that's what I do. That's how I was raised. I always put people before me so they know that I respect them, and if they need me to do anything for them, I'll do it.
And he swings the bat so hard.
Oh, boy, does he ever. You could, if you were standing up there, I think you would feel like a fan. You'd feel the air that goes in.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to let you get out of here real quick. Seeds or gum? You like seeds or gum?
Seeds.
You like the seeds?
All right.
Well, Sam, anything else for Sam before we let him go?
No, just, you know, appreciate you. It's a game day. It's the morning. I mean, it's like mid-morning. It's not like it's 8 o'clock, but still. I know what time I got home last night. I don't know what time you got home, but appreciate you doing this on a Friday morning.
Happy to be here, and thank you guys for having me. I always have a good time.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys. That's Sam Huff, Texas Ranger catcher. Sam, we'll see you out at the ballpark, bud.
Ruxo Media House is a streaming and production company located in Fort Worth, Texas. From video to podcast production and social media broadcasting, Ruxo Media House strives to deliver a dynamic media experience for clients and fans. With 15 shows, we have something for the whole family. Join the Ruxo Media community today.
All right, a big thank you to Sam Huff for joining us. He's probably heading out to the ballpark here shortly. We're going to see him tonight. And but now it's time to go down into the bus leagues. We're going to talk about the minor league system.
Yep.
That's going to get an inflection here after this weekend. But we're going to start out. We go from the bottom up. We go to Down East, which is low A, the Down East Wood Ducks. They're 10-7, 6-4 in their last 10. They've won their last game. They're 43-40 overall. This team is young, very young. A lot of last year's draft talent is there. Yeah. Ryan Garcia went last night, went 3 2/3, 5 Ks, 0 on runs. He's got a 1.42 ERA. I know he's older for the league, but we talked about him last week, and he went out and after we talked about it, had a good game.
Yeah, I wrote about Ryan last month. Last month. And at the time, he was getting close. I think I wrote about him in May, end of May. Anyway, he was getting close to going out. And, you know, the story, if you guys aren't familiar, second round pick in 2019 after the Rangers took Josh Young and Davis Wenzel.
Yep.
He pitched briefly, very briefly after the draft. His elbow started hurting and they gave him the rest of the season off. It started hurting again in spring training. He needed Tommy John surgery. Rehab from that. As he was doing so, he had some oblique injuries. So he missed 2021. You know, 20 everybody missed pretty much. He was going to miss that anyway, but then he missed 21. So this is really his first taste of professional baseball. So he is older, he's more advanced. He should be wiping out these low A guys, and he is. So at some point they need to get him stretched out to five or six, I think, before he gets promoted. But he's not going to finish the season at Down East.
No.
But Down East, you know, really, you can kind of look at all the affiliates. They might be playing the best here the last couple of weeks. And,
yep.
You know, they are young. They've got a lot of young guys. And they're going to get younger because some guys from the Arizona Complex League will eventually make their way to Down East. Right. Maybe some of the draft picks here this weekend and next week will end up there eventually this season. So, you know, it's interesting that level because of where you're at and the ups and downs that you have. But, you know, this is guys getting their first taste.
Yep, absolutely. Then you go to Hickory, the Hickory Crawdads. They're the high A team. Hickory is 45-39. They're 7-11 in the second half, 3-7 in their last 10. They've scuttled a bit, lost one last night. I tell you, somebody who's risen up pretty well is Thomas Sejasi.
Yeah.
He's going, you know, we talked to him during the spring training. He's got 8 home runs, hit one last night.
Right.
He's hitting .296, got an 804 OPS. He was part of that 5-round 2020 draft.
Right.
He was supposed to go to Pepperdine. I just remember about him. He hit like his junior year, he hit like .480, had 14 home runs.
Sure.
And he had started in the 2020 COVID year, already had 6 or 7 home runs in like 2 weeks and was hitting like .500 before everything got shut down.
Yeah.
And so they felt like maybe if he was another one like Carter, if they felt like if he was actually exposed to a full season, probably could have gone a lot higher. He might have had a chance to.
Yeah. You know, that draft. Foskey was the first round pick,
right?
14th overall, and then they finished out with 4 preps. And,
yep.
excuse me. And you know, Evan Carter, TK Roby, Dylan McClain, and then Thomas Sejasi. And he's an interesting guy. I mean, he can play third, short, and second. Rangers are pretty well stocked there. He's probably going to end up playing some outfield, but he has power. He's proven to be a slow starter,
right?
But he finishes strong, and he's just a good kid. Does things the right way. Speaking of Hickory, one of their 3 wins in the last 10 was a no-hitter, a 10-inning combined no-hitter.
Larson Kendrich.
Got over my shoulder, Larson Kendrich, who started at Down East and moved up.
Right.
He was the 8th rounder last year out of Biola University, so he's got some polish on him. He pitched 6 of those innings. And then Lurie Tejada, Michael Brewer, and Theo McDowell, a couple of those guys who were Down East to start the year. They finished it off. I mean, you know, it was extra innings. It was 0-0 when they went to extras. Pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what level you're at. You know, it's a thrill. These guys are never going to forget it. Being a part of
anyone
something
to
like
a no hitter. I don't care who you are.
Right.
If it takes 3 or 4 hitters, that's still amazing.
But yeah, they're scuffling a little bit down there in Hickory, but they still have so much talent. It's just ridiculous.
And, yes.
You know, TK Roby had a nice start recently, so that's trending the right way. He's got his ERA under 5. You're kind of riding the wave with Ricky Venasco a little bit up and down. Mason Englert's still doing fine. Acuna, like we talked about last week,
309. He's still hitting.
He's going to be in Double A pretty soon, I think. So I don't know. This is just one of those things that teams go through, I think.
Before we go up to Frisco, one more thing about Sejasi. For all of you guys that love Josh Smith, Sejasi's another one of the guys that doesn't use batting gloves. Same, he's one of those guys. So if you're, you know, middle infield guy, can play all the positions, hits the ball well, doesn't use batting gloves, kind of like Josh Smith there. Right. So anyway, all interesting right. point. So I don't know. Man, you got 2 of them in the system. Frisco Rough Riders, Double A, local. Good. Go out there and see these guys. If the Rangers are out of town, they need you. They need you to go out there and spend some money. It's a great experience out there at the ballpark. Frisco's 44-40. They're 8-7 in the second half, 6-4 in their last 10. They lost last night. A couple of guys there. Talk about this guy.
Yeah.
And he is playing in the Futures game.
Yeah, Dustin Harris got picked. He's going to go with Jack Leiter. Leiter went on the temporary inactive list. Don't worry. It's just because of the Futures game.
Right.
Dustin will be joining him. And good for him. It's a good reward. You know, he was the Rangers player of the year last year. He's one of their top 10 prospects. He can do a little bit of everything. You know, he hits for average, hits for power, runs, you know, for a guy his size, runs like the wind. So,
yep.
Fun guy to watch. It'll be interesting to see how they do. You know, I'm curious to see how Leiter performs there, against the top prospects in baseball.
Sure.
You know, just an inning, you know, maybe.
It could be the spark plug he needs. Maybe he goes in and strikes out a couple guys in one inning, and all of a sudden he comes back and has a good second half.
He had a tough start coming off of his little arm fatigue deal where he gave up 6 runs in an inning and 2/3. So It's still the putting the puzzle together, but, and I ask a lot, nobody's worried about Jack Leiter. Nope. So if they're not worried, I guess we don't need to be either.
The one thing that would worry me about Jack Leiter is if I went and looked at Jack Leiter's stats and he was not striking out as many as innings, and he is striking out well over one an inning,
yeah,
and that means he has his swing and miss stuff.
Sure.
It's location. I think his off-speed stuff, he just doesn't have the feel yet, doesn't have the control.
I think he's nibbling too much, you know.
Could be that too.
Yeah, you know, the college strike zone's a little bit bigger, and then the professional, the double-A hitter's a little more
advanced than college.
Yeah,
they are.
They're not going to swing at that stuff.
And, you know, and a big thing about Harris, they say the biggest jump in baseball is from high A up to double A. He started out a little slow when he first started the season, but look at the numbers that he's put up. This hasn't fazed him.
He's doing fine.
He's doing just fine. Good for him going there. Then we go up to Round Rock, AAA. Round Rock is 46-41 overall. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They have lost one game, their last game they lost. Here, you can kind of go all over who you want to talk to. I mean, you got Ezekiel Duran, who's there. He hit a home run. Solak hit a home run last night. Both of them. Those are two guys that they wondered why he wasn't here instead of Elier. You know, we talked about that earlier. Round Rock's a good team. I mean, there's some great talent there. Wenzel still hasn't quite kicked in like
he's he's hurt still. And, I don't know what Bubba Thompson needs to do to get promoted. I'm kind of banging on that drum. They say the bat quality still needs to be better. Look, guy's been hitting 300 all year. Something's got to be pretty good. You know, you can look at, I don't know if they look at BABIP, all that stuff and say, oh, he's been lucky or whatever. Screw that. I mean, he's got enough speed where he can create his own luck. He knows how to bunt for hits. He's a guy who's always going to strike out.
Right.
But he has been walking more since the first month. And so things have improved. And I hope that he is promoted this season because I think he deserves it. He is from 2019 when he was hurt and awful. To now, he's an entirely different player. He is, I think, the player they envisioned when they selected him in 2017. So, the guy needs to be rewarded, and you need to see that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if anything, if you get past the trade deadline here and they see what 40-man spots they need to do, he's not on the 40-man right now.
Right.
He's going to have to be before next season or he's going to get exposed. I think there is a chance that Bubba does get a chance, especially with someone like Elier got that chance. Bubba's obviously more well thought of than Elier. No offense to Elier, who is a great guy and is just a great story. But Elier could come up here and not get as many at bats, and they're not going to be worried about it. Again, we're in that situation where you're not worried about his development. I think Sam will eventually get here. Bubba will eventually get here. But you're right. It seemed like a time they could have done it. But
sure.
Who knows?
Oh well. Oh well.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But the one thing you mentioned about every one of those teams, they're all above 500.
Yep, every one of them are.
You got to learn how to win, and absolutely. And you can argue that the current Rangers are learning how to win.
Yep.
But if you do it in the minors, then it just helps you that much more when you get to the majors.
You got a team in the big leagues that's hovering around 500, but if you look down below that, it's worse if your team sucks. At the big league level, it's worse to look down the minor leagues and see a bunch of teams that are scuttling too.
Yeah,
they are winning down there. They're right at 500. The whole system from top to bottom is really trending up. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and it was a top 10 system coming into this season. And I'm not kidding. After the draft, it's going to be top three.
It's got to be. Yeah. They've got a good chance. Anything else before we get out of here? A
couple things. I'm wearing a Do It For Dirt hat.
Is that coming up?
It's coming up October 14th. We'll have more details on it at doitfordirt.com soon. We're collecting auction items. It's gonna be a pretty good one.
Fun time.
Yeah, and it's going to be on a Friday this year. So anyway, if you haven't already circled your calendars, do it October 14th. Keep subscribing to this channel,
right.
This YouTube channel.
Right.
We're slowly creeping toward the magic number, which is 1,000. And
share it with people.
Yeah, share it.
All your Ranger fans, share it with them and say to do it.
This is good stuff. And then, of course, you got to subscribe to RangersToday.com. It's $5.99 a month, $60 a year. There's even the 6-month option for $35. You're not going to get the coverage of the Rangers that we provide anywhere else.
Yep.
Whether it's the history of the Rangers with TR, whether it's this podcast, the way we cover the minor leagues, and then we cover the big league club daily.
Right.
Daily. So if you're looking for complete Rangers coverage, we really are the place. And we're cheaper than anybody else.
That's right.
So do it, man.
Get it out. This is a good gift to give somebody when they get it. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, that's another one in the can, guys. Thanks for everybody for joining. Thanks for Sam Huff for coming on with us. Yeah. Henry, 9-year-old Henry that asked his questions. Guys, until next week, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.